A Tempo is a production of the Classical Network and is supported by the listener members of the Classical Network. Become a member today at wwfm.org. Thank you. Welcome to A Tempo, the Classical Network spotlight on the arts and culture. I'm Rachel Katz, and I'm your host as we explore the changes at work in the performing arts. Each week, I'll bring you some of the latest news, and also take time to examine many of the issues that are challenging these organizations. We'll look at the impact of the economy, technology, and society on the arts, the importance of arts education, and how these organizations and ensembles are adjusting and innovating as they face the future. Today, we'll hear about next season at the New Jersey Symphony Orchestra, which was unveiled late last month. I'll speak with music director Shen Zhang about the musical and artistic directions she has outlined for the orchestra, and also with President and CEO Gabriel von Alst about the season and other ways the NJSO is looking toward the future. As part of A Tempo, we're pleased to bring you some of the news from around the world of the performing arts. Conductor Harry Christophers, who has led Boston's Handel and Haydn Society for 10 years, will step down at the end of the 2020-2021 season. In a statement, the Society said that Christophers, who will have led the Society as artistic director for 12 years when he leaves, has shaped and bolstered its profile, both through the musicians he has hired, as well as through recordings and expanded tours. The Society also said subscriptions have increased 70% and its endowment has grown during his tenure. Christophers is also founder and director of the UK-based choir and period instrument orchestra, The 16. American baritone Sanford Sylvan, whose repertoire spanned opera, American art song, and new music, has passed away. According to the Juilliard Journal, Sylvan, who became Juilliard's voice faculty chair last year, died suddenly January 29th at the age of 65. He created the role of Chu Onlai in Nixon in China by John Adams, and recorded the lead role in Adams's The Death of Klinghoffer, in addition to performing in Peter Sellers' revamped productions of Mozart's Così fan tutti and La Nozze di Figaro. Sylvan studied at Juilliard Prep and Tanglewood Music Center, graduating from the Manhattan School of Music. He joined Juilliard's faculty in 2012 and was also on the faculty of Bard Conservatory. The music world also mourned the loss this week of Oscar-winning composer Michel Legrand, whose scores helmed such movies as Yentl, The Thomas Crown Affair, and the French classic musical romantic drama The Umbrellas of Cherbourg. Born in Paris, he studied with Nadia Boulanger at the Paris Conservatory and served as accompanist musical director to Maurice Chevalier. According to his website, Legrand began composing in the 1950s, writing his first film score in 1955 for Les Amants d'Outrage, and becoming a key figure in the revival of French cinema. He was nominated 13 times for an Academy Award, winning 3 times, including for The Windmills of Your Mind from The Thomas Crown Affair for Best Original Song, the original score for Summer of 42, and Best Original Song Score and its Adaptation or Best Adaptation Score for Yentl. Legrand, who died January 26, was 86. Those are just some of the headlines this week from around the arts world. When the New Jersey Symphony Orchestra takes the stage next season, it will redouble its emphasis on its artistry with a season-long theme of front and center, highlighting its musicians and adding new stage and multimedia programs to enhance its musical offerings. Its opening presentation of Holst's The Planets will accompany a film incorporating images of space from NASA. Later that season, the symphony's musicians will helm Bartók's Music for Strings, Percussion, and Celesta. In addition to a celebration of Beethoven's 250th birthday anniversary, the symphony will present such traditional masterpieces as the Grieg Piano Concerto with pianist Juho Pojanin and Rachmaninoff's Piano Concerto No. 3 featuring soloist George Lee, as well as Dvorak's Symphony No. 8 and Brahms' Symphony No. 2, and Mendelssohn's Violin Concerto with Simone Porter. For the first time, the orchestra has chosen an artist-in-residence, bringing in Louis Lortie to perform all of Beethoven's piano concertos. In accordance with its front and center theme, the NJSO's Winter Festival will highlight music from classic opera and ballet. I spoke with music director Shen Zhang about the season, which will be her fourth with the orchestra, and she said the upcoming program builds off this year's theme of words, putting an emphasis on the visual elements of music.
This next season will be more multimedia, you would say. There will be music played, like in the opening week, we're playing the planets with video that's especially made for that music, as well as a new piece by Sarah Snyder. Also, she composed that piece for film. The music is to be performed with live film on the screen. And I think for the audience, nowadays particularly, people really enjoy that. When you combine your senses, you just seem to have more enjoyment and more pleasure from that experience.
Was there any overarching theme? For example, you said this year was words and the whole idea of people's voices.
The really big link next season, as I said, visual, it's really stage work. So I guess it's part of my passion. I do quite a lot of opera, some ballet as well. So next season we're doing, for example, selections from Don Giovanni, Mozart. And we're doing selections of Romeo and Juliet, Prokofiev, which is ballet. And then we're making this is all in the Winter Festival in January. And then we're doing one of my mentors' arrangement, Laurent Mazel's arrangement for The Rain without words. It says without words is because he extracted all the great bits of the Rain cycle and put in about one hour long symphonic piece without any words, but it's all taken from the operas, Wagner's operas. So it's really, the season is around stage works, plus the film pieces in the opening. I say it's sort of a very visual year. The other big topic next season, of course, is the Beethoven anniversary of 250, and I've had the opportunity to play with the maestro Loti, Louis Loti, in Canada just a couple months back, and I really very much enjoyed it. So we're making him this year, this coming season, as the artist in residence. So he will be performing with us by himself, one pianist, playing all five Beethoven piano concertos with us in 1 week. That's quite incredible. I can't believe any other pianist would agree to do that. It's quite cruel, brutal. But he was very happy to accept, and I very much look forward to that. And he hasn't been to New Jersey very recently. I think he's fantastic. He's one of the top interpreters of classical repertoire, really.
And now there is a mix of both, obviously, the traditional favorites and also some new works and commissions. Tell us a bit about what we can expect.
Yes, the New Jersey Symphony is a co-commissioner of Qigong Chen's Violin Concerto. It was originally written for Van Grof. It's already been premiered in China last year. But we're making the North America debut with Ning Feng this coming season. There will also be Chris Rouse, his bassoon concerto, actually written for Bob Wagner or Principal Bassoon, and that's a premiere I'll be conducting as well. There's quite a few works, actually. For example, the Mahler 7th Symphony, which this symphony orchestra has never played. I did elsewhere, but when I was looking, actually some musicians said, oh, you know what, we have never played this and this. I always find it very interesting. It's really fun to do that. If, you know, after playing this orchestra for 20 years, you never played one symphony, which is a shame. That would be a fun project for the orchestra. We're doing Mahler 7. Yes, there's quite a few. Clara Schumann, we have something I always want to mention is the mini link that the symphony I'm feeling very passionate about is female composers. This season we started with Kate Whitley with a chorus, it's a choral piece, and just past week we did Maria Schneider, also a female composer, living female composers, and next season we're doing Clara Schumann. And Anna Klein, a piece of hers. So I hope this is a mini series that would continue and carry on as part of our culture to be promoting it.
And you referred to some of the performances for the Winter Festival. What's the overall theme and direction that you're taking the Winter Festival next year?
Stage work. It's all surrounded by music that was written for the stage. So I think the first week is the Romeo and Juliet Prokofiev, and Don Giovanni, then the Ring Without Words, the Laura Mazel arrangement. So it's really surrounded to the theme of stage work.
And is there anything in particular with regards to community engagement and family programs that you're looking forward to for next year?
Yes. For the Don Giovanni, we have a very special project. We're inviting young artists from the Met. They have a program for young singers, and all of them, actually, we're taking the whole pack of young singers from the Met program to sing the Don Giovanni with us. I think that's a great opportunity for our audience to hear young talents when they're so new and so fresh. We are also continuing our relationship with the Sphinx competition. As you may know, this season is already in the planning that we're doing with one of their winners. The Sphinx has an emphasis on, well, I think all the participants are African Americans or minorities, and all the winners. I think next season we have another concert programmed. This season we have a double, Bach double concerto happening this season. Next year, again, I think the diversity and the inclusion is, we have a task force in a committee in the symphony. So it's something we I think, very important. It's not something we can just put aside and not think about. Mm-hmm. We want to be one of the first to be promoting it.
That was Zhen Zhang, music director of the New Jersey Symphony Orchestra. I also chatted with the orchestra's president and CEO, Gabriel von Alst, about the season and also some of the other ways the NJSO is planning a course for the future.
For us, front and center has multiple meanings. Obviously, there's this theme throughout the programming of the season of what we call music from the stage, whether it's operatic works, ballet works, even music that's traditionally associated with theater. Bringing that music out of the pit and onto the stage is one of the themes and one of the earlier reasons why Front and Center became this title of the series. But also we have the celebration of the players from within the orchestra, and by its nature, a celebration of the orchestra as a whole. And that starts even with the opening concert of the season, where traditionally we would have a triple A-list soloist coming in playing a triple A-list concerto, but actually here we're celebrating the orchestra as a soloist. And with the Elgar Pomp and Circumstance, which everyone knows from every graduation ever, and every movie of an English something ever, and then of course Holst's Planets, an iconic work that really showcases the orchestra better than almost any other. So this idea of celebrating the orchestra. It's the same at the end of the season when we have the Mahler, and then having a number of our musicians stepping up and playing concertos, whether it's Adriana and Nayang, who are collaborating with the Sphinx soloists, or the bassoon concerto celebrating Bob's 40th anniversary as our principal bassoon player. It's an opportunity to throw a spotlight where sometimes there wouldn't always be a spotlight. And again, the third iteration of what does front and center mean is this overarching commitment to diversity and putting a spotlight on places where it hasn't always been before, because at the NJSO we really believe that diversity, equity, inclusion will ensure the future of classical music. And it's so important for us, whether it's a commitment to female composers, a commitment to soloists from underrepresented communities through our partnership with Sphinx, or our commitment to diversifying both our organization in the office side, our audiences, and of course on stage as well. So there's multiple meanings to front and center. And, you know, when we were looking to name the season, it's always a challenge and an excitement. But as soon as I think Vic was the first person to come up with it, our publicist, she said, what about front and center? And it worked on all these levels that are really consistent with what we've been trying to achieve over the last couple of years.
Right. Well, with Shen at the helm, you know, artistically, musically, how have you seen her ideas and thoughts really guide the vision and the evolution of where the NJSO goes from season to season?
Shen's vision is always the starting point of any season. And this year, for instance, she came to us very early on in the planning focus and said, I really want to focus on poetry and music. And when we began sketching out the season for next year, having now had a couple of seasons under her belt as music director, there's a confidence and an ambition that comes from knowing the orchestra, knowing their perceived limits, and stretching further beyond that. Again, I think back to this idea of new commissions and challenging our musicians to step up, because not only does that provide a spotlight to them, but it shows their virtuosity and increases the orchestra's virtuosity. So I really see her challenging the orchestra with works that we have never played. Mahler 7. I mean, it's almost perplexing to understand why that's never been played by the symphony, but I'm so excited that we can perform it as a premiere at the New Jersey Symphony Orchestra. Music like the Bartok Strings Percussion and Celeste, again, really stretches the orchestra and shows Shen, who as someone who is listening to the quality of the playing and really wants to showcase the orchestra as a virtuosic instrument. Obviously, on the flip side of that, continuing the tradition of Chinese New Year, again, when Shen joined the orchestra in her first year, she said, New Jersey needs a Lunar New Year celebration, and we're delighted that this year we will have our inaugural Lunar New Year celebration, and this tradition will continue. So her fingerprints are everywhere across the season, and I think if you look back to her first season of the orchestra, you see a growing ambition musically and artistically, that she's really flourishing as an artist and as a leader of the orchestra.
You referred to the pillar of diversity.
Yes.
And one major aspect of that is your partnership with Sphinx. What are some of the ways that that is being worked into the season, but other elements of how the NJSO works?
That's a great question. I mean, our commitment to diversity is something that we've been working on for a long time. I won't lie, it's a practice, it's hard. We don't always achieve what we want to achieve, and certainly not at the speed that we want to achieve it. We've been talking about diversity well before Gabriel arrived, I arrived. Henry Lewis was the first African-American music director of a major symphony orchestra, and we're proud that the NJSO was leading the way in that field. So I feel that it's an obligation for us to continue that trajectory. Now, obviously, we have the relationship with Sphinx, and that actually has multiple levels. I talked today about the collaboration for the programmatic collaboration, which has musicians from the Sphinx competition coming to be soloists with the orchestra, and this will be our second year, and we'll continue that theme and that collaboration for a long time to come. Beyond the competition and having them as soloists, there's a deep organizational link as well. It just happens that next week is the Sphinx Conference, Sphinx Connect, and we have a strong presence from New Jersey Symphony going. Myself, two musicians will go. They hold an audition, a series of auditions called the SOPAR auditions, which are symphonic auditions where a number of orchestras from around the country come to hear. It's a centralized place where musicians from underrepresented communities can come and effectively audition for multiple orchestras. And we've had really good success collaborating there in the past, where we've brought some of those musicians to participate in our auditions here. Additionally, we have a trustee of ours is going to present at that conference to provide his perspective of how the organization is engaging with diversity. I had also mentioned that we have the intention to have a fellowship program here. So next year, from next season, we'll have a number of musicians joining us from underrepresented communities on stage to participate and play with the musicians across the year. And again, this is diversifying the stage because our goal is that organizationally we reflect the communities of New Jersey. And that's on stage, and also, you know, we have all sorts of initiatives in the office and also through our board as well. It's part of our mission. It's a deep part of our strategic plan leading up to the organization's 100th anniversary.
So. Right. And part of it also includes reaching new audiences,
Absolutely.
Engaging with the community in different ways. What are, you mentioned it being a learning process, what have been some of the challenges, but also the lessons that you've walked away with in trying to
navigate.
Reach out and work with different communities that you didn't traditionally?
So, I think a great example of this is New York Voices. So in the current season, we opened with Beethoven 9, and New York Voices was a choir that we set up, which was designed to work with the Montclair State University choirs, who we collaborate with all the time, made up of members from New York communities. And it was a wonderful success. We had a great time. The participants really enjoyed themselves. But I think a learning lesson for us is, this is a new choir, and we set them on one of the hardest pieces of choral repertory that you can ever work on as a classical, in inverted commas, chorister. And you're not just singing with the orchestra, but you're singing in German with the orchestra, and a really difficult technical piece. And some of that is my own hubris because of desire to create this. But we definitely learned a lesson that we have to be more understanding, and we have to be more open to what does the community need of us, not necessarily what do we need of the community. And this reflexive attitude is something that we are always working on. And I used the word practice earlier. It is a practice. It's always learning. It's always refining. And despite the challenges and despite things we could have done differently, the fact that we're bringing New York Voices back to participate in the Planets, we want to keep this tradition. We want to keep this commitment to the singers of Newark going. And, you know, I view it as a complete success, with caveat, learning lessons.
You referred to the 100th anniversary coming up.
Yes.
And that's often the time to kind of look at your priorities, particularly when it comes to sustainability, fundraising. What are your directions there? How are you planning the financial viability going forward?
At the Symphony, we're always trying to make sure that as an organization, we're serving the needs of the community. And by serving the needs of the community, we are able to engage with donors who support our work. And by putting the focus on the needs of the state, we've found some great successes in fundraising. Obviously, it's never easy, but earlier this season at the annual meeting this year, I talked about some of our initiatives and some of our successes. So I haven't been here that long, but over the last 12 months leading up to the beginning of this season, we were able to raise $16 million. Now that's, I'd love to say that's money all to be spent in 1 year. That's money that includes legacy gifts that very generous and thoughtful people have put in their wills to support the symphony long into the future. So as you say, leading up to the 100th anniversary, it's something that's always on our mind, and protecting the future of this institution and thereby ensuring ensuring that the state benefits from what the symphony can be doing long into the future for the next 100 years.
Right. Now, you've prided yourself on being the state orchestra and
yes.
being able to travel to different places. Are you examining and looking at new communities that you can explore and look into? Anything that you can talk about?
I can't really talk about anything, but I would say that with an anniversary like the 100th anniversary and being a statewide orchestra, we are considering both of those things very carefully. And we don't have anything to announce just yet, but we're very excited about the plans coming forward, and we're always looking to expand. For instance, last year, we took our Parks concerts to Ocean County for the first time in donkey's years, and we're going back again this year. So we're always looking to expand our reach. We're always looking to expand our audiences. And whilst it's not taking the orchestra to new territories, one of the things I think we're proud of is the way that our POPs programming has changed. Now, through the season launch, we're not actually talking about POPs, and that's new to us as well, because we want to be more reactive to audience desires. But earlier this year, at the very beginning, we had Empire Strikes Back, and one of the amazing things, and maybe it's just me because I'm a numbers nerd, is that 50% of the people who came to Empire Strikes Back, and we had four amazingly, basically sold out houses, had never come to a symphony show before. So when we think about the orchestra at 100, it's my responsibility and it's our responsibility to make sure that we continue to serve people, and people experience live music, live symphonic music, in greater numbers, and we bring the orchestra to many new audiences.
Now, I understand there actually is a new initiative kicking off in Princeton later this spring.
Yes.
With the a new music chamber series. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, so this is a pilot project. So we've seen some great success through our collaboration with Princeton at the for the Cone Composers Institute. So the Cone Composers Institute takes four young budding composers and basically gives them an orchestra for a week. And they come in, because nowadays most people who are composing music only hear about it, only hear their work through a computer, through a synthesizer. And there's quite an art to working with live musicians, and it's a reactive process. And this had been an incredible success, and we were really proud of the work that we were doing. And what we noticed is that Princeton audiences were really hungry for new music. And so we began talking with Steve Mackey, who's the artistic director of the Cone Institute, about how are there ways to expand this program? And rather than bringing the full orchestra, we're piloting and hopefully committing long-term to bringing a new music series to Princeton in collaboration with the music department. So we're very excited about that. Again, because of the nature of the work, a lot of the works that we're performing are still being written. But our desire is that it's not a program that will only focus on brand new music where it makes sense. You might have a program that consists of something that was written last week, something that was written in the early 20th century, and maybe some Bach. It really depends on the programming needs to create a holistic and interesting narrative across the evening. So it's a way for us to experiment. It's a way for us to challenge our musicians. It's a way for us to engage with an audience that's hungry for more, and also give opportunities to young composers in Princeton. So we're really proud of that.
That was Gabriel von Alst, President and CEO of the New Jersey Symphony Orchestra. You can find full details on the NJSO's 2019-2020 season at its website at njsymphony.org. I hope you enjoy these conversations that I bring you, focusing on the changing dynamics and challenges of the arts world each week on OTTEMPO. But remember that programs like this are made possible only through your support of this station. To become a member of the Classical Network, go to wwfm.org and click on Donate. Thank you for being a member of the global listening community that is the Classical Network. Thank you for listening to OTTEMPO. I'm your host and producer, Rachel Katz. Join me again next week as we explore more issues and trends in the world of the performing arts. OTTEMPO is a production of the Classical Network and is made possible by the support of listeners like you.